Gospel lesson for today found in Luke 13, 22 through 30. Luke chapter 13, 22 through 30. And I read this portion of God's word in Jesus' name. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to do so. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will be standing outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open up the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you came from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." Let us bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your warning, for your concern, for your love for all people. Lord, help us to hear this warning. Help us to heed this warning. Help us to trust in you and in you alone for our salvation. Help us rest in the assurance that all that needs to be done is done by you, Lord Jesus, and that we enter as we rest in you, as we look to you, as we trust in you. Lord, teach us and help us to understand and believe what your word teaches in this portion of scripture. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There are times that Jesus spoke words, tender words, words that built up, words that encouraged, words he spoke to those broken over their sins. And he said such things as, "Your sins are forgiven." There were other people that were hardened in their sins, impenitent. They were unbroken over their sinfulness before a holy God. They were confident in their own righteousness. And Jesus spoke very harsh words. But always, always he spoke the truth. He spoke the truth. He spoke what needed to be heard at the time. We have the same in the passage before us today. Imagine hearing them. Imagine especially the mainly Jewish audience that would have been hearing and listening. And some of these words are harsh. But we recognize that they're true. And we recognize Jesus' desire that all come to repentance and faith in him. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should repent and be forgiven. So we understand that as we approach this passage of Scripture. And just real quickly before I continue on in this passage, in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, we read this. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He knew he would go to Jerusalem. He knew what he had to suffer there. He was fixed on being headed toward Jerusalem. But we see here more detail that as he was going to Jerusalem, as he was preparing for his own suffering and death, he spent time and stopped at each of the cities and villages on the way. And he taught. And he proclaimed the truth of the gospel to those that were there. Jesus, we see in verse 22, was teaching and answering questions on his way to Jerusalem. Again, fixed in his focus toward Jerusalem, knowing what he would suffer. But yet we see his compassion and concern to teach people and to proclaim the word of God. To talk about the kingdom of God, to call people to repent of their sins and to trust in him. And we see in verse 22 that as Jesus was traveling through city by city, village by village, someone asked him a question. And that would not be abnormal. A rabbi would be asked questions, and the rabbi would answer those questions. He would teach. We see that he was teaching as he was traveling. We see that he was on his way to Jerusalem. And the question that he was asked and that he responded to is, are only a few going to be saved? And he answered this question with an exhortation and with several warnings. Are only a few going to be saved? We don't know the motivation of the person who asked that question. Was it, I'm sure I'm one of those that are going to be saved, and I'm sure I'm just one of the few? And it could have been in a prideful sense, wanting to be included in that small number, or it could have been in a fearful sense of, is it possible that I'm excluded? How can I know for sure that I'm counted in that number? And Jesus doesn't give a direct answer to that question, but he answers the question with the answer that needs to be heard. We have the exhortation in verse 24. Jesus said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. The NIV translates it this way, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. The ESV and the NASB have the same, and they say strive to enter through the narrow door. The word strive that Jesus used there is agonizomai. And if you hear agony in there, that's you're hearing it correctly. To strive to enter through the narrow door. It was used in the sense of entering a contest, to contend in the gymnastic games. It was used to contend with adversaries or to fight. It was used metaphorically to contend, to struggle with difficulties and dangers. And it was also used to describe endeavoring with strenuous zeal or to strive, to obtain something. And we see that especially in the last definition. It's used a total in the New American Standard Version, used 8 times, and it's used in these ways: competing in games, to fight, fighting, fought. The Apostle Paul talks about, I fought the good fight. Used 1 time in the sense of laboring earnestly. Used 2 times, including here, the idea of striving or to strive. Just real quickly, it's used when John, in John, where Jesus in chapter 18, verse 36, said that my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Jesus said, my disciples, if my kingdom was an earthly kingdom, competing with the other earthly rulers, he said, then my servants, my followers would fight. And that idea of agonizomai. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, of everyone who competes in the games, and this the same idea, exercises self-control in all these things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, we an imperishable. That idea of striving for something that's not going to just disappear, striving for something that's worthwhile pursuing. Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, 29 talks about, for this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works in me. And his serving as an apostle, it was a lot of hard work on many occasions. Opposition and abuse, a difficult life. In 1 Timothy 4:10, Paul says, It is for this we labor and strive, the same idea here, striving, because we have fixed our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. And the same word used in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, that idea of fighting the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And then Paul talking to Timothy about himself in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I kept the faith. The warning is sounded in the words of Jesus as we look at verses 25 through 26. Jesus says in verse 25, when the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, think of his listeners. He said, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. He will answer and say, I do not know where you are from. You're a stranger to me. And some of those, even who heard Jesus said, would be those who would be excluded from the kingdom of God. Not only will the door be shut, but the decision will be final, as we see in verses 26 and 27. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught us in your streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. They said, we shared meals. We were close. You were in our streets. But they weren't of those who heard the words of Jesus and were broken over their sin and trusted in him. They trusted in association. Oh yeah, you were close by. You were in our neighborhood. That should count for something. Jesus says it doesn't. It doesn't. Do we trust in Jesus and in him alone for salvation? Or someday will there be some even here who stand before God and say, well, I went to church and I was confirmed and I was on the church council, or helped start my home congregation. Jesus' words, depart from me. I don't know where you came from. Fearful words. What was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to get each of his hearers and each one of us as well to get to the place in our spiritual journey where we say, I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be me. How can I know for sure? I want to escape those words of judgment. And the only escape that any of us have is repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where we get so frightened of a holy God and his wrath that each of us deserve, that we say, there's nothing in me that is any good at all. There's no hope that I'm looking to myself for before an infinitely holy God on the day of judgment, to be broken over our sins, to say, I can't do it. I can't ever be good enough to earn a place in heaven. That's where we need to be so that we're ready to hear the good news that someone was good in your place. Someone obeyed the law of God perfectly, everything God commanded and demanded of you and of me. Jesus fulfilled for us. When we turn from our sin, the sin that might be so appealing for a short time. How many people have you heard say, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to become a Christian, I don't want to read the Bible because I'm having too much fun in my life? For a short time, it might feel like fun. Sin is tempting. But that fun doesn't last. And for those, unless they repent and trust in Christ, those who are having fun in sin will stand before God on the day of judgment. And they'll hear the words that Jesus uttered here. Depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew where you were from. Jesus said, the first will be last, and the last will be first. Can remember, especially a Jewish audience, they were thinking, we're in. You know, it's the family tree, and we're in the right family tree, and everything's fine with us. But some of those same attitudes we see in the Old Testament. And we see also in the Old Testament, only a remnant will be saved. When John the Baptizer was on the scene, he said to those who were coming to be baptized by him, he said, don't even begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. He said, God is able to take these rocks and raise up descendants from Abraham, which is what he has done among the Gentiles. Those who were not seen as God's people, brought to repentance and faith in Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, both law and gospel. Jesus said in verse 28, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They're expected to be in God's kingdom. That would be a given for the Jewish people. And Jesus said, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves being thrown out. A fear will take hold of them at that time. But it will be too late. Jesus went on to say in verse 29 that even the Gentiles will be entering the kingdom of God. He said, and they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. This is the mystery that is foreshadowed in the Old Testament and described more fully in the New Testament, that both Jew and Gentile through faith in Christ become part of God's church, become part of God's family, become the true people of God. Even the Gentiles. Again, for a lot of Jewish people, they would call the Gentiles the dogs. They're as low as any animal. And even among the Gentiles, there will be those who are broken over their sin, who trust in Christ, who receive the forgiveness of salvation. In verse 30, some of the last will be first, and some of the first will be last. Behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. A lot of religious, a lot of good people from a human perspective, they think, you know what, if anyone's going to get to heaven, it's going to be me because I'm better than my neighbors. Certainly better than some of my relatives. And those, there are those people at work that, well, you know, they're way out there. So if it's graded on a curve, they think, you know, I'm probably in. The standard is God's holiness. The standard is God's law. Have you kept it? No, not only have you kept it perfectly all the time, without fail, not even one time. And if you're honest, instead of looking at the Ten Commandments and saying, you know what, I'm a pretty good person. I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I haven't done that. If we look at the Ten Commandments, have you loved God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Not just a couple times in your life, but all the time, 24/7, 365. And no, you haven't. Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Well, last week I was kind to my neighbor who was not so kind to me. It's not just once in a while. It's all the time. Those of you who have gotten to 50 years or 65 years of marriage, have you been kind and loving to your husband or wife all the time for 50 years, if I can pick on you guys? Sam's wanting his wife not to say yes or no there. Because you know what? We all fall short. And if it's based on our good works, if it's based on our human efforts, it's never good enough. It's never good enough. If that's what you're trusting in today, that's a fearful place to be in. A lot of religions of the world that just will emphasize do enough good things to outweigh the bad. And hopefully, the balance will lean heavier this way. But God says it's not only trying to do good things, but it's what do you do with your sin. But also, what do you do with your good works that are tainted with your sinful nature? I was kind to someone so that I could chalk it up on my little blackboard. I was kind today. I did a good work. Good for me. Pat myself on the back. Sometimes even our best good works are not good works before a holy God. Jesus said, strive to enter, agonize to enter the narrow door. The narrow door is Him, is repentance and faith. It's what Jesus has done for us. Sounds a little closed-minded, doesn't it? I don't make the rules, and neither do you. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said to strive, to agonize, to enter the narrow door, as if that's the most important thing in life, because it is the most important thing in life. To deal with our sins, to deal with the question of where will I spend eternity? He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. If I were to ask you, are you married today? If you say, I think so, if you're a man, you're going to get an elbow pretty tough if you're married. You don't think so, you know so. Not based on your feelings, not based on the circumstances of life and how things are going, but it's a reality. And you can know today, my sins are forgiven because Jesus paid for those sins, all of those sins, in His suffering death on the cross. It was for you, it was for me. He paid the penalty. And for those who will say, you know what, I still think I'm a pretty good person, you're rejecting the finished work of Christ on the cross. It's a scary place to be. For those who have been convicted by the law of God, who say, I know I'm a sinner. What can I do? Look to Jesus. He's done it for you. You might say, my faith is so weak. My strength is so weak. Jesus says to agonize, to strive, to fight, to get in through the narrow door. Because there is no other, but the power is not in me any more than the power was in the lame man to whom Jesus said, stand up. It's Jesus that does the work. It's Jesus who applies what He did on the cross to those who trust in Him. And even that striving is a work of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives, bringing conviction of sin. And that desire to know that our sins are forgiven. We can know for certain. Because what Jesus did on the cross was sufficient for you and for me. He died once for all. That sacrifice never needs to be repeated again. I never can add anything to the sacrifice that He made for me. Because even my best righteousness is like filthy rags. The gift is a free gift. If for trusting in Christ alone for our salvation, we can know for certain that I have a place in heaven, that I have peace with God, not because of me, but because of what Jesus has done for me. Maybe someday, you might say, or maybe as you share the gospel with other people, you know, maybe someday I'll think about this. Remind people what Jesus said, strive to enter that narrow door. There's an urgency there. There's an urgency there. And I hope that in your spiritual journey, if you haven't come to that place of assurance of salvation, that you look to Jesus to receive his forgiveness, accept his mercy, and trust that what he has done on your behalf is sufficient so that you can stand on the day of judgment without fear of condemnation, because you're trusting in the finished work of Christ. For those loved ones with whom we try and share the gospel, they're content in their own self-righteousness. I'm pretty good. If anyone can do it, I can do it. And we need to use the law. Use the Ten Commandments. Ask, have you always obeyed your parents when you were growing up every single time? Have you ever used God's name in vain? Have you ever used the holy name of God as a curse word? Use the Ten Commandments. Show them that they've sinned, that they fall short of God's glory, that they will be accountable before God on the day of judgment unless they turn from their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who said about himself, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is that narrow door. He is the one through whom we find eternal life and the gift of salvation. And it's in him alone that we find these things. Amen.